This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday making his weekly visit. After skewering him for several minutes over his disrespect to the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, they got into some pretty good topics on that show. Here was J.J. Watt on handling the trade rumors while he was a player.
There's times where literally I saw my name float around if we weren't playing that well and the trade deadline would come up and like I see the Twitter reports and all of a sudden I'm like text my agent. I'm like, yo, I'm not like moving, am I? Like, or what do we? And literally I have no idea. Or I'll go up to the GM and I'll be like, hey, like, you're not calling people, right? Or are you? Or what's going on?
Yeah, you'll not reach your face. No.
Yeah, no, it's you don't know as much as fans think you know. Like, they think they're like, oh, yeah, he knows he's gone or he's at, like, there's a lot of times where you have literally no idea what's going on upstairs. There was one year where I was like, I had to go up there a couple days in a row. I was like, you're sure, right? Like, I see
definitely
it a lot.
Never.
Okay. There was one year in particular. So this is where I like, I hear that. I'm like, oh, okay, well, this – we could probably figure out, based on JJ's career, exactly what year that might have been where he had to go do that, you know?
This is why I always, always, always endorse that your GM be a serial philanderer. We need somebody that's really good at lying to people's faces.
Yeah.
And make them feel... I'm joking about the serial philanderer part. But there is an element to that. The uncomfortable moments where coaches or GMs have to lie.
Yeah.
Or coach speak or GM speak.
Right.
It's gotta be tough when a player comes to you and asks, and you can't let that person know that you're definitely talking about them to other people.
Right. Well, especially when it's
Baby, no, those are just my friends on Instagram.
Especially
you can look at it anytime you want.
Especially
not that phone, this phone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, that one. That one.
That's my work phone.
Right.
You can't touch that one. Yeah.
Well, especially when you're a Texan fan and it's J.J. Watt and you're like, man, was there? Because his career was 9 years with the Texans. No, 10 years with the Texans. And then 2 seasons with the Arizona Cardinals. He played 12 years total. And I'm like, okay. I mean, he's talking about a conversation that clearly he remembers taking place with him and the general manager. So I'm like, when could that possibly have happened with either of the teams? And so I went through and I'm like, all right, well, there's no way that happened during his reign of terror as 3-time defensive player of the year. Like, there's no chance they were trading him then. He was injured. So that was 2011 through 2015. No chance. 0% chance. 2016, he was injured in week 3. 2017, he was injured in week 5. No chance it was either of those years. 2018 and 2019, when he returned healthy, they were a playoff team. You know, they were a good team those seasons.
Yeah.
So they're not trade. They would be a buyer. They were a buyer in 2018. They traded for Demaryius Thomas that year. And then in 2019, they were a potential playoff team again. And then he tore the pectoral muscle and his regular season was over. The only logical trade season for J.J. Watt as a Texan would have been the COVID year in 2020, when it was very evident right out of the chute they were a terrible football team.
Yeah.
They fired Bill O'Brien, head coach and GM, 4 games into the season. And if we recall, Romeo Crennel became the interim coach and Jack Easterby became the interim GM. So is it possible that J.J. Watt had to march into Jack Easterby's office multiple times and ask him, hey, man, am I up on the trade block right now?
I think there's a good chance that happened that season.
Yeah.
I don't know at that point whether J.J. maybe would have been cool with it or not.
Right. Depending on where he would go to, right?
Right. Yeah, it's like maybe he just wanted to be clued in on it and, you know, be a part of the process.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most likely instance.
Now,
O'Brien, I don't, you know, I feel like O'Brien might have wanted to trade JJ at some point earlier than that. It just, there was, I wouldn't have. I don't know, but
well, they did. As McAfee pointed out yesterday, they did almost or did get into fights at times, O'Brien and J.J.
J.J. and O'Brien, right. Yeah, in that 2020 season, right?
Yeah, the Steelers game.
Yeah, yeah. So when in that whole offseason leading up to that, where you know Bill O'Brien was kind of running amok, they were willing to trade DeAndre Hopkins away for just about nothing. They had already done it with Jadeveon Clowney. Those guys are different than obviously for they're different than JJ in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think O'Brien was in take no prisoners mode, and I would be really surprised if O'Brien didn't field calls about JJ Watt. Maybe.
Yeah.
He would have been maybe more open to it than he or Rick Smith or Brian Gain would have been in the past.
Couldn't you see like a sequence where he trades the two first round picks for Laremy Tunsil? And then he might be shopping J.J. Watt and try to get two first-round picks for him before 2019.
Yeah, he thought he was going to be able to recoup some of that or something.
People might be shaking their heads in the car, and if you are, that means you just moved here in the last few years and didn't experience the Bill O'Brien as GM era. I could totally see Bill O'Brien trading two firsts and a second for Laremy Tunsil and then whipping around and trading J.J. Watt. Why? Because 6 months later, he traded DeAndre Hopkins for a second-round pick. Now, that would have been the thing. He trades J.J. Watt for a second-round pick in a janky-ass running back contract.
Well, the thing with J.J. Watt that was always going to be dicey, whether you're Bill O'Brien or anybody else, was, yes, J.J. Watt's incredible when he's healthy, but how much – if there was another team out there that was willing to take on all that salary and the injury risk – There's a reasonable price there. I don't think it would be completely out of whack for O'Brien to consider it.
No. In retrospect, it might have been a good move at the time.
He tore a pectoral muscle that year,
and then 2020, he only had 5 or 6 sacks. The only other season it could have been for JJ, where he walked in and saw the GM and asked about it, would be his last season in Arizona. They were a playoff team his first year in Arizona. His last year in Arizona, they were bad. I could see Steve Keim like going, there might be teams calling us about J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah. I didn't forget about the Arizona days.
That was probably it. That may have been it. It's more fun to think about J.J. walking into Jack Easterby's office and asking about it, just based on the duplicitous answers he might get in the process. but so there you go.
Like the physical threatening maybe. Hey, JJ, did you ever just point blank physically threaten Jack Easterby? Did you ever get that frustrated with him that you did that?
Yeah. That's fun to think about too. JJ
would be too smart to actually explicitly threaten him, but he might make a menacing
stare,
look or gesture or something.
JJ said that he was actually texting with DeAndre Hopkins, one of the more prominent trade deadline pickups. He said I was texting with D-Hop after the game on Monday.
I was texting with Hop yesterday a little bit. It's fun for me to see him playing with Mahomes. Like, I haven't been with Hop for his whole career, and knowing how many quarterbacks he's been with and some of those teams that we were on, it's a lot of fun to see him out there balling out and playing so well. And it's also one of those where I know everybody's sitting there looking like, how did we let this happen?
Yeah, that last part's the big thing, man. People have to be, I know I was as a Texan fan, like, of all the teams to go get DeAndre Hopkins, and unlike some of these other receivers that are aging and have been traded either at the deadline or before the season, you know, like Keenan Allen, everybody's making a big deal about Keenan Allen going to Chicago. Like, okay, well, that hasn't really done much there. You know, like DeAndre Hopkins statistically had not been great the last couple of years, but based on the early returns, at least some version of the old DeAndre Hopkins unleashed in that offense.
Right.
Might still exist.
Well, he hasn't had, you know, he hasn't had really a quarterback that can, you know, deliver the 50-50 ball to him. The 50-50 ball that becomes a 95-5 ball when thrown to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
It's not quite there. And then I think with the thing that'll be interesting with Mahomes is that I don't think Mahomes doesn't need precision route running by his receivers for Mahomes to find them. When it comes to the scramble drill or whatever else, I think, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is not a conventionally great route runner. He's just really good at getting open enough for him to make the catch. And so he doesn't always do the conventional route running stuff, and it's not on time and in rhythm the same way that maybe like some quarterbacks would require. Pat Mahomes doesn't have to worry about that. I think Pat Mahomes can just create that relationship with DeAndre and figure it out. So, I think it was a really smart move by Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. For a fifth, it could become a fourth. Absolutely.
Yeah. Look at Brock Osweiler was the worst example of a guy that didn't know how to use DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, no.
Here's the only – DeAndre Hopkins made every quarterback he played with better than they actually were.
Yeah.
Except for Brock Osweiler, who couldn't seem to figure out how to just throw the ball up in the air to DeAndre
Laser, Hopkins. Yeah.
Why, Brock?
That's a good question.
Why, Brock?
It's a good question, Andre. Really good question. 5-Hour Energy fan line, text message. Good morning, Sean and Seth. My gut feeling tells me the Lions are going to massacre the Texans, and I'm a Texan fan. I'm hoping and praying for the best. Great show as always. God bless.
You know, the
team's going to get massacred, and God bless.
Man, I'll tell you, the optics of it are that the last two times Kenyon Green has been replaced, the team drove down on a scoring drive the very next series.
Yes,
with Jared Patterson and Kendrick Green.
And Kendrick Green, they on the very first series which game did he get swapped out? The Indianapolis game.
Yeah,
is when Jared Patterson came in, and they came in and they had a 10-play 70-yard drive. Joe Mixon had that get off me run at the end.
Yeah,
and that's the play Patterson got hurt on. And then Kendrick Green, they had a 98-yard drive.
Yeah.
With Kendrick Green at left guard.
And Kendrick had some really bad pass protection snaps in the game versus really good defensive tackles, but still, it's the getting beat quick that's the scary part. And that's one thing where it's one thing to get beat in pass protection, but there's too many times on the interior where it's, oh, no, this guy is winning quick,
dude,
and getting right up on the quarterback. It's like having a close talker in your face with bad breath.
Yeah, there was a play Joe Mixon had that made it onto Twitter, you know, like an all-22 play. It was a run. It wasn't a pass.
Yeah, and it was Kenyon Green getting just blasted.
He got shoved to the ground. Shoved to the ground. He got swim moved to the ground, like face first to the ground. A tenth of a second into the play, it was like he was a fan that got to play left guard for a play. You know what I mean? Like it was that. And Joe Mixon still was able to bounce it outside for about 12 yards. You know,
some of those deep penetration plays by Kenyon Green, Joe Mixon has turned into a positive by like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to make my cut really early.
Yeah,
and get
this guy's
really
go
fast
flying by me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
But it makes it easier when you get an offensive lineman getting driven that far back into the backfield. It makes it so much easier for the linebackers to know where the play is going to go. So the cutback, the running back has to make the decision immediately. The linebackers and the safeties can adjust, and you lose all that value of the zone run.
Yep.
And Mixon's still been able to make something out of a lot of those plays, but it's just such a glaring issue at left guard that anybody is going to be better than what they were getting. Now, is it good enough to make them a genuinely really good offense? We'll see. But I think there will be improvement just by that replacement.
Dude.
And that goes back on D'Amico, Caserio,
yep.
Slowick.
Everybody.
Not when if Jared Patterson gets in there and plays passably well.
Yeah.
If he puts in an average performance, even slightly below average by left guard standards, they're going to be a much better offense. And then it all comes back on, like, why? Why did you not see this sooner?
Seth, we are beaten over the head with just a play here and a play there, and we're this close and blah, blah, blah. Kenyon Green has, like, a dozen snaps a game that are catastrophically bad. If Jared Patterson just doesn't mess up those plays... Mm-hmm. This offense could be a whole lot better on Sunday.
You know, I'm glad you framed it that way because that's been the frustrating part when they say it's a play here, it's a play there. Right. Okay, well, let's look and see who's responsible for a huge percentage of those, and let's see if we can fix that immediately.
Yes.
Can we fix the 20% of the issues that are causing 80% of our problems?
There you go.
You know, like, and that's where it feels like they weren't seeing the forest for the trees there.
Well put. Let's stick with Joe Mixon. C.J. Stroud had a really cool thing he said about Joe Mixon and his presence yesterday and why Joe Mixon has amazing numbers the last three games and why I am so angry about it. I will tell you coming up next.